Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30. "And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householders came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while they gather up the tares, they root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles and to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." You'll notice that up there it says, they planted, and while the men slept, the enemy came. The way this actually play out is, we are the men, and we sow good seed. But while we sleep, at times we sleep, we slumber, and sometimes we just fool around, don't pay attention. And the enemy came during those times and sowed the tares among the wheat. The father is the guy who's the homeowner, and he says, you can't root one up without rooting the other up, so let them grow. But in the last, right there at the end, at the time of the harvest, we'll have them separated. Now, if you all had came for Sunday school this morning, we could be dismissed right at this point. But since you didn't, we're going to forge on. As you all know, or probably have heard, the Supreme Court made a ruling. And what's happened at this point, according to the parable, there was good seed and the tares were sown, but finally they all come up together. And when it was maturing, they finally realized there's tares, there are weeds. They're so similar, it's hard to tell them apart, but when they finally came to the process of actually maturing, then you can tell which was which quite readily, and you could do something about it. If it was, you know, very small, you could pick them, but since it's an entire field, you can't go through this. And God said, let them grow up together. What's happened at this ruling, it's been demonstrated at this time that the tares are finally coming to fruition, and we can see what's what and who's who. People ask me then, oh, so the time is almost here. No, because it says the fruit is coming forward, and then they realize, but you have to wait till the time of the harvest. So you have to wait till it's actually ready to pick, the wheat is ripe, and then. So is this going to end the world in the next few days, the next few weeks, the next few months? No, actually, it's going to continue on for quite some time. And I don't mean quite as, I'm not trying to set dates. I'm just saying, don't expect this to happen, you know, the trumpet to sound and the Lord to show up in the next 3 days or next 3 weeks even, because God always gives a time for repentance. And I'm going to cheat. If you're using the King James Bible right in front of you, you can turn to 685. And I like it because it's Habakkuk. And I like Habakkuk. He's one of my heroes. But he's also the guy that said, the just shall live by faith. But in chapter 2 of Habakkuk, and verse 3 and 4, God has given him a vision, and he's explained to him this vision. And then he says, verse 3 and 4, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry," which means it will not come. It's coming, but wait for it. "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. Wait for it. You see that Matthew is actually a parable about the end times. He's saying when you see this maturation process, the maturing of the tares, the wheat's not quite ripe yet, But we're waiting for it. Wait for it. The time is coming. The wheat is almost there also. And when the harvest starts, I'll start separating. But when you see that tare start to mature and you can tell the difference between the wheat and the tare by the way the seed of each one of them is made, wait for it. You know the judgment is coming. I know we've said this for years and years, the judgment's coming. But God gives a chance for repentance. And that's why He waits, give them a chance, give them a chance, get ready, but give them a chance. I've been saying up here for 3 years, words matter. The things we say are important. Not just from the prophetic sense of, you know, we're proclaiming the Word of God, but from the communication sense. If you've been listening to the TV and the radio, they are saying this decision on the marriages is firm. They'll use that. This is firm. It is now firmly established. And the vote was 5-4. Now, when it goes against them, they say the vote was close. So close. They're saying it's firm because they want the people of America and us to give up and say, it is established, it's over with. That's not true. If you have studied your history, which I hope you got some history in school, the Dred Scott case was about slavery. It was a slavery issue. And the vote was 7-2 in favor of slavery. And they would have said, it's firm. But we know that there is a constitutional amendment now that overturned the Dred Scott decision. Don't think that this is firm. God is still up there. But the day is coming. When I say God's still up there, I mean God is still in control. Don't give up and say we're throwing up our hands and we're walking away. The day of the great separation, though, is drawing near. It's getting closer. And on that day of separation, He's going to take the tares out first, and He's going to take the wheat, and He's going to bundle the tares. And here's a word of advice. Remember, the tares are starting to show who they truly are. I was surprised. I'm not a Facebook person, but I had people come in and talk to me and say, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, Doyle. There are people who I know who go to churches and are saying that they like the way the decision turned out. They go to churches and they claim to be good Christians, but they're saying this is the way it should have came out. Remember, the tares are starting to show who they truly are. They look like us, they walk like us, they even talk like us. But as the process continues, we're going to be able to tell who's who. Don't lose faith in who you are. With this court ruling comes to us something that needs to be done in our life. It is time that we, myself as an individual, and you as an individual, check the foundations of your life. Sit down and actually go over. Do I believe what the Bible says? Is the Bible the word of the God? Don't get weaselly on this. A lot of people will say, the Bible contains the word of God, which means that not everything in the Bible is scripture. And with the word, the Bible contains the word of God, with that word contains, they are appropriating to themselves the ability to choose that which they like and to dispense with that which they don't like and say, well, that's truly not the word of God. And I'll tell you the truth, there's things in the scripture that I don't particularly like. Tough noogies, Doyle. If it's the word of God, it's just the word of God. And I have to say, yea, verily, okay, God, you spoke it and I will accept it. You need to go over this in your own mind and in your own prayer life and reflect and say, do I believe that this Bible is the word of God? And if you come to the conclusion and say, yes, it is the word of God, complete, then what the parts that you don't like, you still got to support. The stands you have to take still need to be aligned with this, even though it's not a popular stand. Even Jesus himself said, if you're popular with the world, oh, you're in so much trouble, because I'm not popular with the world, and if you're my disciple, you will get persecuted. Okay, that's Doyle Williams' paraphrase, but that's the idea he gets across. It's coming the time that if you start taking biblical stands, they will start persecuting you, talking bad about you. I even had somebody slam me last Friday over this whole thing. Boom. Now, one of the ways it's been said is this ruling was done. It's over with. It's firm. But you can believe what you want to believe. That sounds good. But they didn't say you can practice what you believe. The way the law is, if it says 55 out on this highway, but you can believe it's okay to drive 65, but you better drive 55 and do what we tell you. You can believe 65 is fine, but 55 is the law. So when they say to us, you can believe that this isn't proper, but you have to obey, there is where they're going to start pushing. And don't think this is over with. I've had people say, oh, but love wins. Pastor, love wins. This proves that God is love and He wants it this way. Love wins. And God is love. There's no doubt about that. God proved with Jesus that He is love, and He proved that He loved us so much. And He proved it with Jesus by letting Jesus take all of our judgment. Boom, on Him, on that day. And when I say all of our judgment, I mean every bit of judgment across the entire world, across the entire spectrum of time. But when He proved that He loved us and God is love, He also proved something else. That He hates sin and He will judge it. And He poured His anger, His righteous indignation, and He let Jesus bear all of that and die with it because He loved us. To emphasize one characteristic of God or one attribute of God and say God is love and then ignore the other attributes of our God is a distortion of who God is. God is a complete entity. God not only is love, but there are also aspects of God that are fearsome. Sinners in the hands of an angry God should be very fearful. God also judges. God also condemns. God also is willing to pass a judgment, a sentence of eternal damnation upon people in a place called hell. If you don't believe the Bible, you don't have a problem with this because you can just dismiss it. If you think it just contains the Word of God, you can just ignore any part of this. But if the Bible is true, it says here in Psalm 7, verse 11, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. God is love and God is angry with the wicked. The reason He's holding off right now is because that His righteous anger and indignation was poured out on Jesus. And He's trying to give everybody the opportunity. Hey, people, take this opportunity. I'm in pause mode right here. Because with Christ's sacrifice, it's open for all. But there will come a time. Wait for it. Wait for it. When He will say, that's it. I've had it. I have given you opportunity and I have given you time and time and more than enough time to come to the place of turning away from your sins, and yet you refuse. You are tare and you're coming to a place of maturity. You are tares and you are going to be doomed to be bundled together and thrown into the fire. You see, we're at this place now and we have to recognize this as individuals and as a church. That it's no longer about pretty songs. It's no longer about motivational speeches. And it's no longer about Sunday school picnics. Those times are passing over us. Those times are going. It's coming right down now to what do you believe, and are you going to take that stand and say, this is the truth of God, and I must hold to this truth? We are in a precarious position because something has happened. I belong to a generation called the baby boomers. It was right after World War II, and there was just bunches and bunches of us. Every street corner and every street had a lot of kids, and we played a lot, and there was just kids everywhere. 95% of that group that's known as the baby boomers, 95%, when asked, professed that they were Christians. 95%. Now, when they say profess that they were Christians, they didn't say what denomination and what defines a Christian. They just said, do you believe in the Christian God? Do you believe in Christianity? However you want to define it, 95% of the baby boomers said, we believe in Christianity. We are Christians. There's another group now called the millennials. They started in kind of the late 80s, 90s, all the way up to about now. There are more millennials now than the boomers. We were a bunch of people. But as we get older, our older boomer brothers and sisters are starting to pass away. There are now more millennial kids than there are boomer kids. You ask the millennials, are you Christian? 15% say yes. 15%. Somewhere we lost. What? 80%? Somewhere we lost 80%. Therefore, we and you, especially you, need to take up the responsibility of this. Educate your family about the Bible. And don't just say, the Bible is true. Why? Because I said so. 1 Peter says, be able to give a defense, be able to give a reason why you believe, and make it a good reason. When they ask a question, find a good answer and say, this is the way it is. And when you're talking about the Scripture, try to avoid using the words, I want to tell you the story of Jonah and the big fish, or Jonah and the whale. Don't use the word story, because they're told, here is a story, and we tell them, fairy tales. Here's the story, and we tell them all sorts of little interesting liberty gibbet things, you know, whatever. And then we use the same word to say, I want to tell you the story about the Bible. I want to tell you the story about Jonah. When we talk, we shouldn't use the word story. We should start using the word, I want to teach you some history. This is historical. And explain it to them as historical. Give them reasons why this history is true. Learn to communicate. Do not entrust neighbors, friends, or even the church to teach your kids. Because somewhere between the boomers and the millennials, those kids weren't taught. Those kids were not given reasons why the truth is the truth, and why this is historical, and why we believe it, and we have to explain our experiences and say, because I accepted this, my life has had a positive change in it, and while I'm not perfect, I am still being changed by my God and by my Lord, and He is influencing me. Prepare. 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 Study to show thyself approved. Is it hopeless? No, it's not hopeless. God's still on the throne. God's still up there reigning. He told us this stuff was going to happen with the parable out of Matthew I read, and with other prophecies. Jesus said this kind of stuff is going to happen. And Paul said, in the last days, these things are going to happen. And we're here seeing these things happen. So while it's distressing, saying, oh, gee, this isn't good, at the same time we should say, our God, our Lord and Savior, told this to us. Therefore, I trust Him even more, because just like He told the disciples ahead of time, you are going to be shot because I'm going to end up being judged and crucified and I'm going to die and you won't see me, but I shall rise again and then you shall see me. And they're scratching their heads. He says, I told you this, so when you're going through that dark period, you won't be just overwhelmed and crumble. He's told us this kind of stuff so that we will not be overwhelmed. He has told us and informed us through His Holy Spirit, through His prophets, through His own testimony in the Gospels. He has told us the things that are going to happen so that when they do, we won't crumble. There is coming a day when the harvest will happen. So we need to continue sharing the truth, praying that God will deliver these people and that there will be a miraculous change in their life. But just because we see it doesn't mean that we should cave at this point. It just means we need to become grounded and say, here are the reasons that I believe this Bible to be absolute truth, and I am staking my life on this. I'm staking my eternity upon this. And I would ask people, come join me and I will share with you. And it's not just real easy all the time, but I will share with you why I know this. Not just believe it, why I know this Scripture to be absolute truth. And why I chose and still choose to put my trust in God. There is hope. He is God and we are still His children. He still hears our prayers. He still favors us and blesses us. And even though all the storms all around us, He's there with us, taking us through. So don't let this overwhelm you and don't cave in. Just say, He said this is going to happen. And it's happening. He's a good God. He's a great God. And He protects His children. He leads and He guides and He protects us. And He'll never, ever, ever forsake us. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that You would lead, guide, and protect us, and do it in such an obvious manner that not only do we see it, but other people say, there's something special about these people, and cause them to want to choose. Help us also to have that kind of knowledge that at that point we just don't say, oh, just believe it. We can say, here are reasons why we believe it. Father, educate us about Your Son and about Your ways. And at the same time, continue to fill us with Your presence through Your Holy Spirit and give us the wisdom and the power to speak at times when we're speaking before kings and when we're speaking before poor people or even middle class people. Give us the words at that time and help us to walk away and say, okay, God, I did my best and I'm trusting You to nourish that within them. Father, we ask this so that You'll be gloried and honored forever and ever and ever. Give us confidence to stand on what we know to be true, because the rest of the world will break around us and we'll see Your light and we'll hear Your trumpet sound, and someday we will be called on high to leave all of this behind. We're looking forward to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.